Blog Talk Radio.
I ain't got nothing but three things to say about that.
Juicy woman, I'm so tickled to have you back here with me again. Today, let's talk about what I like to call fat chat. But before we do that, let me back up a little bit. Did you know that today is actually celebrated as Self-Love Day? When you think of it, it really kind of seems fitting for Self-Love Day to come before Valentine's. Because if you can't love yourself, how can you possibly love anyone else? That's what I'm here to share with you and teach you, how to love yourself more. And that starts with first being aware of what is and who you are. How do you feel about yourself? What do you think about your body? Gosh, so many women grow up thinking that something is wrong with them, and they learn to hate their bodies and compare themselves to others, wishing that they were taller or thinner or more athletic and just more. Just not knowing any other way to be, always, always having a nagging sense of not being enough. To many women's way of thinking, our bodies are either too much or not enough of whatever. Maybe you hear it every single time you stand naked in front of a mirror. I'm so fat. I wish I weren't so ugly. I'll never be thin and happy. You're singing your song. It's pretty sad. Making you feel pretty blue. Now, according to the universal law of attraction or vibration, everything has a vibration. Just like a radio station, everything has its own signal. You're always in the process of transmitting and picking up others' vibes. Have you ever walked into a room and gotten a bad vibe? Yuck. You just didn't want to be there, or you were with someone and you felt so good. That's energy that you felt. Broken down scientifically, that's subatomic particles of light. Oh, the geek in me loves this. It's bouncing around and it's always moving. That same energy, it's running through the whole universe and it's all around us. It even makes up your thoughts, and it's like we're all in this huge cosmic soup, all floating around in the same space, connecting, but thinking and lost in the illusion that we're all separate. Think of it like everything in the universe has its own way of communicating or singing. Everything has its own song. It's actually true. Just like a magnet attracts another magnet, a sad song is drawn to more sadness. Something that is joyful will feel inclined to connect with more joy. You know, when you're happy, you feel great. It's so easy to find other things to be happy about. If you've been hating your body, you're sending out a lot of bad vibes. It's kind of like a bomb going off in your body, shattering it bit by bit. Because your body's not stupid. It recognizes how you feel about it. When you think loving thoughts, you feel lovable. When you think negative thoughts, you feel hateful and angry. As long as you think harmful thoughts about yourself, your weight, your body, your relationship to food, and every other aspect of your life, everything will always be in a glitch. Self-acceptance is what you need. It's the key to break the cycle of feeling ugly and continuing all the self-abusive patterns that are going on. But there's a big disconnect that we're all facing. And I personally feel that a big part of the problem is that we don't spend enough time learning how to nurture ourselves and treat our bodies with respect. I didn't learn how to do that, did you? We're way too hard on ourselves, and we slam ourselves for being human and making mistakes. Now, I got to tell you, despite the fact that I'm the author of the book Loving the Skin You're In, this love your body way of thinking is so new to me. and I'm still in the process of my own recovery. Gosh, I've spent years hating my body. I'm 50. It's been 34 years pretty much of hating myself through dieting and all craziness, and still on and off I get these fleeting occasions of, you know, banging myself just like everybody else. But for the most part, I really, really do love myself in a whole new way. I'm big. I'm a size 18, 20, sometimes bigger. I haven't weighed myself in probably about a year, but I figure I'm about 220 pounds. My thighs are big, my stomach is big, and my arms are big. But I love them all more now than ever before, and I feel more compassion for myself than I ever did before. Even when I'm inclined to hate myself for doing stupid things, like sabotaging myself by getting in my own way, being my own worst enemy. Do you love your body? Oh, sure. I can see you now. You're probably looking down at your thighs or grabbing a chunk of your stomach and wondering, how can I ever love myself this way? I'll tell you, I used to feel that way too. But I learned something that you may not yet know. By refusing to love yourself exactly as you are, you'll keep on getting caught up over and over and over again in doing things that will continually keep you acting out in self-abusive patterns. Because you'll hate a part of you and resent yourself for being the way you are. You know, it's kind of like taking poison and expecting someone else to die. In another show, we'll talk about why forgiveness is so important, and it's really a gift that you give yourself. But back to today. Have you been poisoning yourself with nasty words? How many times today have you put yourself down? Yeah, you, dragging yourself through the mud with ugly criticisms and biting remarks. So many of us do it. Did you know all those horrible and mean things that you're saying to yourself are hurting you? It's true. Research in the field of mind-body medicine shows that there's a powerful connection between your thoughts and your body. And among other things, when your mind is on self-hatred, when it's on that track, it affects your ability to release excess weight because you don't feel safe. Good grief! Even more than that, it breaks down your heart and over time causes cardiovascular disease. So better watch your mouth. What you have to know is it's all related, mind and body. Let me break it down. Anything that affects your mind affects your body and vice versa. Let's say you love cookies and someone offers you a whole plateful of all your favorites. Oh, my God. Just the mere thought of thinking about eating them will make your mouth instantly pool with saliva. This is an example of your mind and your thoughts affecting your body. Here's another one. Have you ever tried on a pair of pants that are too tight and immediately you feel horrible about yourself? You could have been having a great day and then all of a sudden, bam, game over, babe. Isn't that the quickest route to a binge? This is your body affecting your mind. Here's the deal. Scientific research has proven that there's a complex system of communication that goes on all the time between your mind and your body. It goes on behind the scenes without us ever having any conscious awareness of it. Scientists have isolated neurotransmitters. These are chemical messengers of thought, and it's been discovered that they're in every single cell of our bodies. Do you know what that means? That means that your body and mind are always, always, always standing at attention, waiting patiently for you to issue commands. Your body's listening. The things you tell yourself, will determine how you feel and what you do. As dieters or Weight Watchers, we tend to think of ourselves as fat. And we learn all the habits and ways of thinking that reinforce our belief that we have no control over food. This is known as the diet mentality. It's really all or nothing thinking that's going on here. That's the most insidious of all, because it's like it shuts down your brain so that you just can't see other options. It's like blackout to your body. What's really going on is that when you're under stress, there's a cascade of chemicals that are rushing through your body, and all the blood in your head pools in your forebrain, which causes your thoughts to jumble, and you just can't think straight, no matter what. That's when we do those loopy things that we do. At those times, it's like you just kind of go off on autopilot, and whatever programming you have installed, that's what's coming up. So you may promise yourself, oh, God, yes, no more Snickers bars for me. I will never, ever touch another Snickers bar. And something happens, and your brain goes on red alert, and what do? You would knock over your grandmother to get a Snickers bar. At those times, that's autopilot. And too many times we're blaming ourselves and hating on ourselves because we're just being human. It's that old programming that comes up from what's happened and all of the experiences you've had from the time that you've been a baby all the way up until now. Every single experience you've ever had is in your brain, kind of like a whole filing system packed in there. And it's those things that are jumbling around, scraping the bottom of the barrel when you're off on that autopilot. When you say things like, oh, I hate my fat thighs. I'm just disgusting and fat. I'm so stupid. Oh, these fat wing arms. I'm a fat pig with no self-control. Oh, please. The other day, what I said about myself, I'm just a blind old fat. Oh, so many horrible things we say or say about ourselves. That stuff is hurting you. Who taught you how to talk to yourself that way? You learned it from someone. Whether you know it or not, you're still carrying that person around on your back. And that's actually a big part of the reason why you're feeling stuck and angry and anxious about your body and your weight. Somebody, at some point in your life, taught you some very mean ways of talking to yourself because they didn't realize or perhaps didn't care that they hurt your feelings. So even if they were well-intentioned and they meant well, it might have come out raw and hurting, and somewhere along the way, you picked it up. And along with it, you may have also taken on all that baggage by holding on to that hurt. That may have just been the way they were. That was the orbit that they were spinning in, and you might have been in the wrong place at the wrong time on the wrong day, and they said this nasty thing, which you're still carrying around today. I want to share a story from my book that really turned my head around and taught me that I had to start changing the way that I was talking to myself. Here goes. It's called Obstacles Are What You See When You Take Your Eyes Off the Goal. In June of 2007, as I was sitting at my son's elementary school graduation, my inner critic was having a field day. Andrea, what the hell is the matter with you? Why can't you figure out why you can't stop eating? You're a freaking fraud telling your clients what to do and not doing it yourself. Whatever happened to walk your talk? The distant voice of the presenter on stage jolted me back to the present when he said, obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. Suddenly, a river of truth tears came flooding down my cheeks. I finally got it. All this time, all these years, I had the wrong goal, to lose weight. I wanted to get thinner because I thought that would make me happy. To get past my resistance, I knew I had to change the goal from losing weight to learning how to love and accept myself as I was, however I was. With the extra 35 pounds on me, my new round fat belly, and my ever-present big fat thighs. In that moment of clarity, I realized the nasty way I had, I had learned to speak to myself was the same critical, intimidating way my father had spoken to me for years. I realized that in many ways I had become him. As I heard the speaker repeat the line, I knew I was ready to accept this new, larger, and to my way of thinking, less attractive version of Andrea. My transformation didn't require a change of eating habits. It required a change of thinking habits. To break the cycle of my self-abusive ways, I had to stop criticizing and judging me, as my father did, and instead discover wells of compassion for myself that I didn't yet feel. I had to step out of seeing myself from his perspective and start looking at the real me, excess weight and all, through new, gentle, loving eyes, perhaps for the first time. I resolved to look for what had long been missing, me. The thing is, a lot of us grow up with people who are less than ideal parents and role models and even friends. You know, little kids can be so hurtful to one another. And if you've ever been bullied and called names, man, it really sticks with you. But here's something to remember. At the very heart of it, everyone's doing the best they can with what they know. As children, because we're so little, we think that the world revolves around us and that if something's wrong, it's always our fault. To a child's reasoning, they think, it's my fault. I'm a bad kid. But that's not true. Yet we don't realize that as children. But if you've ever experienced a trauma or any event that came packaged with powerful emotions, it's kind of like a part of you stayed stuck in that place. You continued to progress chronologically. You got older, but emotionally you stayed in that stuck place. A friend of mine was telling me the other day about how after she had broken up, she had gotten divorced, that she stayed so stuck for all those years. She felt sorry for herself. She was miserable. And that's what happened. Until she made the change, she was stuck emotionally. A lot of us try to convince ourselves that if it happened in the past, it's over, but is it really? We all have our stories, good, bad, ugly, or indifferent. And many times it's those exact stories that are rolling around in your head and pushing you to seek out comfort when you do what you do in the way that you do it. They form anchors or memory markers in your brain that keep you remembering them over and over again, replaying them each time you're reminded of them. During those times, you act on impulse. You do the first thing that can make you feel safe to get away from that uncomfortable situation. That's what I want to show you, the connection between what you do and the way you feel. When you feel like crap, you'll do and say and think exactly the same way. Because we're always responding or reacting to the thoughts we're thinking. For years, I used to think that my addiction to food was a weakness, proof of being undisciplined or having no self-control. Then once I gave myself permission to stop dieting, I realized that was all crap. I did have self-control. And it is possible to eat just one chip and put the rest away, or even take something out of my mouth because it doesn't taste as good as I want it to. So I started to learn that food was not the problem. When times were bad, I saw a pattern. My incessant hunger always came back with a vengeance whenever things got crazy again. Have you ever been to an amusement park and played a game called Whack-A-Mole? Well, the whole idea behind it is that you're given a bat and you're supposed to hit the little robot mole-like critter that pops its head out of a hole, but the robot's faster than you and it's always moving. So more often than not, you miss and the mole pops up somewhere else. That's what's really going on behind your overeating, the feelings about your body. Just like the mole that pops its head up, you try to whack it by dieting or watching your weight and doing everything that you can that you think you need to do to change your body and make yourself perfect, and bam, something happens in your life. And it causes the overeating to pop up all over again. Here's what I learned. If you can't get a handle on what's bugging you and deal with it head on, your appetite will continue to rage out of control. In a survey that I recently did, it showed that for most women, overeating is the biggest challenge right now, with rough times facing us all. If you're letting your foul-mouthed, acid-tongued, loud-mouthed inner critic steer the wagon, you'll never get your head out of the fridge. And I say that with so much love. My purpose for doing this show is to give you the value of my training as a professional coach and NLPer. NLP is short for Neuro-Linguistic Programming. Neuro means brain. Linguistic refers to the way that we speak to ourselves. And programming is the way that we see our lives, the way we perceive of the world. I like to think of NLP as more like brain candy. I do love my food. It gives you the ability to see your life from a much sweeter, more compassionate perspective. You can move past being and thinking like a victim when you can see your life from a bigger perspective. I make no bones about the fact that I came from a background of being sexually abused. So I grew up feeling very unsafe and being uncertain about a lot of things. Fear was always running in the background. I've gone through a lot of tough times. It hasn't jaded me, made me harder or meaner. Well, wait a minute now. It did for years, but not anymore. Rather, now the way I look at my past, it's made me softer, wiser, much more compassionate, and ever so much stronger. I'm actually a better person for all the crap that I've been through. This is what makes me a body image self-esteem expert. It's the combination of my personal experience and my expertise. And it's through trial and error that I've learned that your issues with food and hating your body are not about what you're eating. It's what's eating you. Like so many women, I used to swear on a stack of Bibles that one day my life would be different when I lost weight. I thought the answer was to diet and become more like the women I saw in magazines. When I was older, I wanted to look like a younger version of myself, but thinner. But even after I got to my goal weight, I was still miserable, always constantly obsessing and never happy with myself or my body. As much as I tried, I just couldn't stop thinking about food. Within 5 years, I had regained all the weight back again. Oh, my God, the shame that I felt. I wanted to die. But I just kept thinking, I got to lose these thighs. I got to lose these thighs. I got to lose this weight. I swore. That's why I was so unhappy with my life. My mindset at the time was that I was miserable because I had fat thighs. And one day during my coaching training, I came to the sober realization that it was actually the hateful and toxic thoughts I had about myself and my body that kept me in patterns of overeating and self-abuse. It was then that I finally realized that my overweight thighs were my body's way of screaming out for help, begging to be loved and accepted. Until I began to love myself, thighs and all, I didn't have a hope in hell of ever being able to get my emotional eating under control. Now, for all intents and purposes, I'm going to take some liberties here and expand the definition to move beyond fat. Keep on holding that image of the whack-a-mole with the head popping up in different places, okay? Now, instead, think of that pop-up head as stress. that shows up in your life. I speak to groups of women, and many times they say that they don't have any issues with food. And so I ask them, how do you deal with things when you're upset? I was speaking with a friend, and she was telling me how upset her boyfriend got when the credit card bill came in. She had spent $1,000 in a weekend. Sorry. They're already in debt, and this was putting them way over the top. That caused them to get into a big fight. And what did she do to make herself feel better? She went out and did more shopping. Okay, this time I'm taking water. Hold on. Hey, you guys, I would love it if you call me. So let me tell you about my stepmother, Rosie. She was a gorgeous, naturally slender woman who seemed to have no issues at all with food. She was the picture of moderation, able to eat a cookie and put the rest of the bag away. I mean, I was floored. I didn't get it. But after every meal, I remember Rosie had to have a cigarette. At one point, she was smoking 2 packs a day. Sadly, she died of lung cancer. One of my clients used to be addicted to the internet. She would spend hours upon hours on Facebook while everyone else in the house was sleeping. During the years when I was finally at that goal weight, those 5 years, oh, man, I white-knuckled food and tried to stay as good as possible, resisting so many of my favorite fattening foods, but still wanting them desperately. To keep my motivation up, I began to shop compulsively and eventually racked up a debt of over $100,000. I had turned to shopping as my new way of making myself feel good. When I lost the money, I went back to using food. Now, I want you to Now, I want you to think about what's going on in your life. What are you doing to excess? Eating? Drinking? Shopping? Sex? None of those things are actually the problem. They're all just symptoms of something else. They're the whack-a-moles that are popping up. Here's another way of thinking of it. I've heard it called a red herring. You may ask, what's a red herring? Well, Dr. Anita Johnson refers to this in her book, Eating by the Light of the Moon, how women can transform their relationships with food through myths, metaphors, and storytelling. She explains why food is not the real culprit behind your challenges with your body. It's so seductively easy to fall into the trap of thinking that your weight is the problem. She says food is not the issue, it's the red herring. A red herring is a term used to describe something that's designed to confuse or divert attention from something else. The whole obsession with dieting is an illusion that's been distracting you from looking at what's really, really, really making you eat when you're not hungry. It's no wonder that you've probably faced so much pain and shame with dieting. You've been on a wild goose chase. It's like heading east looking for a sunset. As long as you focus on blaming yourself for eating that whole bag of Cheetos or overeating at dinner, you will not have the ability to look beyond and find out why you're overeating in that moment. The problem is, unless you face those emotions, fears, and situations in your life that you're trying to avoid and just sweep under the carpet, your issues with food will never get resolved, and you'll always walk around feeling deprived. So you'll keep on trying to fight the good fight, and that will only perpetuate the cycle of losing and regaining the weight and keeping you caught up in the poor me victim cycle. So So this is what I want you to remember. We are always in the process of attracting more of what we're thinking. Today, I want you to begin to appreciate and thank each and every one of your body parts for its resiliency, function, and loyalty. It's always been there for you and never abandoned you. Isn't it time that you showed it a little love in return? I want you to think. I want you to imagine that all the things that you have ever felt about your body are being written across your body. All of the experiences that you have ever had, all of the hurts you've ever endured, all of the disappointments, all of the sadness, all of the rejection, all of the pain, it is all there. And now what we're going to do is we're going to change the value. Instead of it being writing, it's going to be pounds. It's going to be pounds of pain. I want you to think of all those things that you've endured as pounds of pain that have found their way to your body in an effort to try and shield you and protect you and make you feel safe when you didn't. Now, I know it seems crazy, this whole idea of accepting an imperfect body, but you really don't have a choice. Our thoughts are so powerful, they could either make you well or they could make you ill. I have a story that I'll tell you another time about a dear friend, a dear colleague of mine who had developed cancer and went into remission twice. But it was actually her recognition and understanding that she had to make some big changes in her attitude that shifted the whole game for her. So here are a few quick tips to get you on the road to self-acceptance. Think of the excess weight on your body as being a suit of armor, protecting your younger self. Feel compassion for that little girl in you and recognize that she needs love too. Stop weighing yourself. Reclaim your power from that miserable piece of scrap metal and step away from the scale. Now, this is so important. With the loving care and attention of one who really loves you, start touching your body, caressing yourself, especially those parts that gross you out. Spread some love and remember that little girl in you is in you. So the next time you're just sitting and watching TV or something, I really want to encourage you to just caress your thighs and hold them. Put your hand on your stomach when you're standing and you're looking in the bathroom mirror and say, I love you. Because you're screaming out to the cells that they are loved and that they are wanted, and you want them to stay around for a very, very long time. In order to be a curvy and confident woman, remind yourself that you deserve love and affection because you're already lovable and worthy. I want you to know that as you change your relationship with food, you'll feel so much more in control of your life. The place to begin is where you are right now, accepting the body you have today. Now, don't confuse that with meaning that you're settling, because you're not. If you want to be healthier or change your eating, or even if you want to lose some weight, this right here is your first step, because you won't be willing to take the actions to get healthier unless you really love the skin you're in. This is going to require compassion and forgiveness on your part, and I'll teach you how to get there. It's going to take a leap of faith and make it okay to be the size you are today, just like I did. I like to say that I found my perfection in the folds of my imperfection. Look deeper. You'll see how amazing you are. I'm here to help. If you want to go deeper, I offer private and group coaching programs, and you can always find me on Twitter, Facebook, or on my blog. Now, As I mentioned before, we're going to close each show with the Juicy Woman checklist task of the day. Here's what I want you to focus on this week. What bugs you? Pay attention to what's going on in your world that irritates you. Is it that picture that's hanging on your wall that just needs a little repositioning? Or is it the way that your boyfriend or hubby leaves his socks on the floor in a pile? What's getting your goat? Think about it and make a list of as many of those things as possible. And this week, work on dealing with them so that they don't bug you anymore, and set an intention to cross them off one at a time. Handle your business before it gets out of hand. I love you so much. Until next week, make it a sparkling day. Bye, Juicy Woman.
I love my body.